expect was that the prospect of visiting this dream world would produce a stream of devilish behavior in our newest daughter. In the month before, she stole food when she could simply have asked for a snack. She lied when it would have been easier to tell the truth. She whispered insults that were intended to hurt her older sister as deeply as possible. And as the days got closer to the trip, it got worse. And the day came and she said to her dad, "You're not taking me with you, are you?" And he said, "The thought hadn't crossed my mind." And he realized what had happened. She thought that the Magic Kingdom was a place you had to earn. And he took her, and after the first day of overpriced tickets and queues, he put her into bed and he said to her, "Honey, how did the first day in Disneyland go?" "And Daddy," she said, "I finally got to go to Disney World, but it wasn't because I was good. It's because I'm yours." She understood grace. In that picture, Lord, give us the grace to help our children understand grace by the way that we live and act. See infants with the eyes of Jesus, but bring children to Jesus' arms. This isn't what the disciples are expecting. They're expecting Jesus to say, "You guys are really looking after me." And he's far from gentle. He knows what's going on. I mean, remember, not long before this, they're on the road. He knows what they're talking about. And he says, "What have you been talking about? Am I going to the cross?" No. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? He knows what's going on. You can imagine what they're thinking. So if we're going to be somebody in this world, children are just going to get in the way. And as they push away the moms and rebuke them, verse 14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. "Allow the little children to come to me and do not hinder them." I wish I could show you the emotion in that word, indignant. It's the same word used in Matthew 21 when the chief priests were indignant at the children who were shouting the praise of the Messiah in the temple courts. "Hosanna to the Son of David." It's the same word used in Matthew 26 when the disciples were very angry with the woman that she should dare to pour this expensive perfume on the head of Jesus. What a waste. You know, when we get angry, and we're all tempted to get angry, right? It kind of reveals what's going on in here. What we really are like and what we really love. While the disciples are sinfully angry because they don't want any inconvenience, so their idolatry is their comfort, Jesus is angry, sinlessly angry about what really matters. These children, don't you see, are helpless and vulnerable. You know, we can have all our theological answers about what God is like, that he is infinite and that he is eternal and that he's unchangeable. But the answer that God wants from the disciples and us is, what is God like? God is like whom? Like Jesus who clasps the children in his arms and who is delighted when we do all we can to point them to his heart. And let me say that we're going to find that there'll be two roadblocks that we can put in the way of our children to hinder them coming to Jesus. And that's by saying to them, parents, that something else is more worthy of my time. My dad had to work very hard to put us through our education. Something I really got to know about God from my dad is that we were not inconvenient. We were special. And you know, it's one thing to cave time to watch your kids at sports or at a drama, whatever they're involved in. It's another to have a relationship that says, "Man, you can talk to me anytime and on any subject." It sounds so easy, this bringing children to the arms of Jesus, but if that's going to happen, we've got to shift roadblock number two, where we say that other things, or we show them that other things may be better served by our effort. So we've all got to have a career, right? But we put all of our eggs into our career so that we can give our children maybe the latest gadgets. How will our children know that they're special when we serve them gladly because we're serving Jesus above all. Here's a word for you moms, and some of the moms are listening in the media room. And they have a very tough job day after day after day. And some of you moms, you're working and you're looking after your children too, and it's hard. Listen to this letter from a Christian mom called Natalie to her children, one of whom has Down syndrome, Elias. I'm writing this letter to you at the end of the day, and I've given you everything, and I'm too tired to shower. And today I've fed your hungry bellies, and I've bathed your little bodies, and I've lost count of the dirty diapers and the potty accidents. I lost my temper. I hurt your feelings. My precious children, sometimes you might think I don't like being your mom. When my face gets all weird, when I'm too tired to read and I get frustrated that you don't make it to the toilet in time, you've seen me at my worst. It's been your little hands and hearts that have brought me to my knees. I have learned through your lives that there's always someone more important than myself. Serving you has been the best thing I could do in my lifetime. Your lives remind me every day that life isn't about me. It's about loving others. Before I had you, I was told that children are a blessing. They were right, but I didn't understand what it meant. I thought children were a blessing because they were fun and really cute to carry around. Now I know that my children are a blessing because they turn my eyes away from myself. Your lives have stolen my heart. You parents, you understand this. When your feelings are hurt, my heart breaks. When you experience something new, I'm cheering right alongside of you. And today I'm celebrating the greatness of being your mom, but I don't want to be honored for the things I've done. I want to honor the one who hasn't given up on me. When I slammed my fist and cursed his name, he held me close. When I yelled at you and my face turned red with sin, he forgave me. My beautiful children, you are a blessing because you bring me joy and you point me to the one who will never give up on me. What she's really saying is that our lives and our love would be a lot poorer with our children. That's why we love children in this church. And that's why I ask you, as I've asked myself, do we see children's ministry, do we see Vacation Bible School as something that supports missions out there? Or do we see our children's ministry as a mission field? Why would we have children's ministry unless we believe that our children don't have this automatic connection to God? Unless we believe that we need to point them to Jesus. Who am I more like? Am I like the disciples? We're not babysitters. Do I think I'm beyond children? Or am I someone who's saying, whatever I may not be able to do for little children, give me one name of a child, Lord. Let me open my eyes, two children to pray for, that those child may be brought to you, those children. Since Jesus loves all children, love each child wisely. And then, this is for us adults, right? We think we got it all sometimes. Learn. From children spiritually. The value of children, Jesus makes clear, is not just that each child is unique, that they're not even two twins who are alike. That's part of it. There's a double value in what we can learn from them. Imagine all the learning that enabled Hudge. Must I call you doctor now? Where is he? Where is Dr. Hudge? There he is with his head down. Humility. Imagine all the learning that enabled Dr. Hudge to get his doctorate this week in marine engineering. No mean feat. Think about this. The greatest truth you can learn about life, Jesus is saying, is not from an institution or academic professors or Google. You disciples are dismissing children. Verse 15, truly I tell you, and when he says that, means better listen, ears prick up. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Please don't get me wrong. Don't get the text wrong. Jesus is not saying that children automatically go to heaven because they're innocent and pure and they're not little sinners. That is a subject of another message. And I do remind you of David, who really believed, although God took his son, that he would see that baby that never made it once again. That's subject for another message. But even children can sense that what they ought to be, they cannot. And sometimes they're as honest as Stephen. Stephen, a little boy called, his name was Stephen, age 8 years old. And he wrote to his pastor and he said, I would like to go to heaven someday because I know my brother won't be there. Honesty. I'm good enough, but he's not. So Jesus is not saying that the kingdom belongs to the ones he's holding. He's saying if you want to be part of this kingdom, you got to be like these little ones that I'm holding. So very briefly as I can, a child will teach you that without empty hands, you're not helpless enough. And I really want to encourage you, if you're still trying to understand what the gospel is, I want to encourage you to learn from children. You imagine little baby Ezra, and Shay was sharing, you know, the feeling as his first son is born. And he, in fact, felt part of the team. In my dad's day, you wouldn't go into the, you know, into the operating room. The dad is part of the team here. He was cutting the umbilical cord, and he didn't faint. No one expects Ezra to say, here I am. I can do whatever is needed. I can produce my own milk. I can feed myself. I can give dad a break so he won't say, not another nappy. When a baby comes out of its mom's womb, those hands and feet lifted towards the sky is a picture of helplessness. And without helplessness, the Bible says, you are too full to enter into the kingdom. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're playing with the gospel, right? You admire Christians. Sometimes you're honest, but you think you're better than others. And you're always comparing, and you've not seen that when you come before God, to come with your ego is to be as foolish as the king in the emperor's new clothes. You know that story by Hans Christian Andersen? The tailors convinced him that they were going to give him a set of clothes, although they were con artists. It was invisible. And they said, these clothes are invisible to those who are stupid and incompetent. He didn't want to be thought of as stupid. So he paraded out into the street naked. And a child said, but he isn't wearing anything at all. Listen. None of us get into the kingdom by anything we feel we've got to give. Right? Nothing. When Billy Graham died, I think it was just over a year ago, he did not enter heaven because he preached to more people through media than anybody in history. He did not get to heaven even because he was a man of impeccable integrity in finances. He did not even get to heaven because he was a humble man who understood what it is to walk with the Lord. When he entered into heaven, it was because God undeservingly showed him kindness in grace. Without empty hands, we're not helpless enough. That's the way you get into the kingdom. And then, of course, with simple trust, we prove real faith. I mean, more than being like a child, it's also a question of receiving. Whoever does not receive the kingdom like a little child will not enter it. Have you noticed how a child has a capacity to enjoy a lot without you having to explain all kinds of things to him? Later on down in the hall, you're going to look at some desserts. I'm not sure if they're going to have milk tart in the South African table. But you're going to have a debate. There are going to be reasons as to why that may not be good for you. Too rich, too creamy, too much, too many calories. Give it to your child because he trusts you, as long as it's not broccoli. You're not going to give me anything bad, and he's going to go for it. Unmitigated trust. That's the faith we have. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, with all of your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's why I think we can expect children to come to Jesus at an early stage. Unlike us, they repent very easily. They don't have the pride that sort of accumulates. They don't battle self-righteousness, you know, but I deserve heaven. I've come to church for years. I come to the Lord's table. I've given money to missions. They don't reason like that. Boy, you give them a gift and the paper goes flying and they fly into your arms and they shower you with hugs. And I remind you, you and I who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should have the same passionate love for God. We love not because we're great lovers of God. We love because our Father first loved us. So we end with this. Without empty hands, we're not helpless enough. With simple trust, we prove that there's real faith. Can I ask you, do you love Jesus? You love him? You're showing him that you love him? It's a sign that you know him. And then by confident hope, we expect what we cannot lose. This is a beautiful touch as this passage ends. The parents bring the children to Jesus. And he takes those children in his arms and he puts his hands on them and he blesses them. By the way, the Hebrew blessing has far more than, you know, go your way and God go with you. It has the idea of picturing a special future and an act of commitment to make it happen. So let me speak about Ezra one last time. I watched Shay as he took that child in his muscular arms, so the small head was just fitting in his hand. And as I watched this, it occurred to me that Ezra wasn't even thinking that he might be dropped or harmed. It didn't enter his mind. And there's a parallel here. When you come into the kingdom, there's a whole lot of things that you don't know. Ezra doesn't know. He won't know, even when he's older, what will happen in 10 or 20 or 50 years' time. But all he knows is that Dad has got me. A human dad does what he knows best for his children. But we have a Heavenly Father who exceeds even that. And I say to you today that he not only knows the best for you, he's planned the best for you, and he has the power to make it happen. I can't say, but I wonder if when Jesus blessed these babies, I wonder if he wasn't saying, you're going to be used mightily. You're going to make my name look good in this world. You may even die. You may even die for the hope that you will have in me, but I've got this and I've got you. Are you yet to trust in Jesus today? This Jesus who's made this act of commitment to children, the same Jesus who can forgive you and embrace you, the same Jesus who can bring you into his family, can show you the joy and peace of making his name known and great in this world. You want to know what God is like? Really know what God is like? Like Jesus who takes these children and enables them to see that they are loved. We're living in dark days, and I understand that there's more than one parent who you're getting anxious as you looking at the world around you, and you feel sometimes it's getting so dark. You want security, you want true peace, rest. Entrust your child to Jesus. As a church, let's entrust our children to Jesus. Bring those whom you love most, Jesus says, place them in my arms. I cared for children then, I will care for them now. And I want this Jesus to be the one to whom I continually come, empty hands and a simple childlike faith. Join with me as we pray. There is none like you, Lord, as we'll sing in a moment. Is there any one of us who can come to these verses and think that we have always acted and reacted towards children, either our children or the children of others, in the way that we should or ought? And how thankful we are for grace today, that you accepted us not because we had anything to prove to you. You accepted us with all of our sin because your blood alone can deal with that sin. Your work alone is sufficient to bring anyone into the kingdom. And so today, please forgive us. Forgive us when we've considered children to be a nuisance. Thank you for your incredible grace that you understand parents and the challenges and struggles they face in bringing up their children. Thank you that, Lord Jesus, just as you bless those children and they lay dependent in your arms, so we can bring our children to you and realize that you have a purpose and plan for them, not because we always get it right, but because you always get it right. And you know the plans you have for them. And then help us as a church, as we think of children's ministry and what we might do to show that we really value children. Bless the work of our hands, we pray. And may we have the joy of seeing many of our children come to faith from a young age. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord give you his shalom, his peace. As we move out into this, your world, help us to be the reflection in some way of the glory of the God, the Father who loves the weak, the needy, the vulnerable, the children, the helpless, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.